real care for clothes. My baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for cars and races.
Welcome, welcome from Nadia.
Liz Taylor is not a star high, and even Lana.
Welcome to Lunaria, a special place dedicated to women.
My baby don't care. Who knows?
Welcome to this special edition of this podcast, of this program dedicated to our cyclical health, cyclical awareness. You know, I've been speaking about this in the past episodes. Welcome from Nadia, by the way. I didn't mention my name. And yes, I have been speaking about cyclical awareness and cyclical life of a woman in the past episodes. We've also seen our anatomy briefly. Today I'd like to go into a more deep understanding of this cyclical life I always mention. And I'd like to analyze with you the archetypes that regulate our inner body-mind system cyclical life. And I thought to start from the follicular one. So what's the follicular phase? What's the follicular energy? What's the follicular archetype? This is the topic I'm going to talk about today. Well, we're again dealing with the hormonal cycle of a woman, which is mainly regulated by two typical main hormones, the estrogen and progesterone. Estrogen being the one that opens you up throughout the cycle, through kind of a half of your cycle after periods, all the way up to your ovulation, to the peak of the estrogen and drop. And then we have progesterone. So the opposite polarity. Instead of opening up, it's more about going inward and taking care of the inner world. So you see, within the hormonal cycle, there's a constant balance between these two polarities, between this dark and light side. I'm going to start with the light one, the follicular one. Follicular phase is that phase of your hormonal cycles that happens to be there just after your periods. So as soon as your menstrual menstrual phase is over, so when the last drop is done, there you go, and you enter this space called follicular phase, where, you know, the name comes from happening into the ovaries, the two ovaries. So we often speak about the egg that is being released during ovulation, but we don't speak about what's before the egg. The egg, anatomically speaking, is the oocyte, egg cell. So the one that can become a person if the sperm makes love with it. But before that, before becoming an oocyte or egg cell, it will be all surrounded by a follicular body. The follicle itself is a little tiny being within the ovary that holds the space for an egg cell to develop throughout the next days. But before becoming an egg cell, that will be a follicle. So it's kind of a potential, something that can become an egg cell, a seed, but is not yet there. So it's potentially a grown-up thing, but still into the process of growing up. That is exactly what happens within the follicular phase. We are reborn, regenerated by the menstrual flow. We are new, and day by day, the whole of our body speaks the language of growth, of knowing, discovering, exploring life. Slowly, gradually, as a child does. You know, you don't expect children to immediately take responsibilities when they're 2 years old. It takes years before they take responsibilities for their lives, for their choices. And that's the same thing that happens within the woman's body in the days that follow the menstrual time. There's usually a sense of relief, of regeneration, of dynamism, of more energy being back to you, more brilliance and intellectual inspiration sometimes also. Natural tendency to learn and to be curious about life, about whatever is around you, nature, books, people. So there is a creative inspiration, a sense of fun, of desire for a project, for something that you want to fulfill. But again, gradually, funnily, with no, you know, interest in concluding the things in a day or in a few days. You're still exploring. You're exploring your independence gradually, your strength, your self-confidence, your determination in life, and your self-sufficiency. So all this comes along with a fresh, cheerful, loving, and renewed energy. Also, sexually speaking, the sexual life we may have during the follicular phase is pretty different from the other ones. And there it is also the vaginal activity and the vaginal fluidity itself. The mucus, the vaginal discharge we have in the follicular phase is not very wet, is not as transparent and abundant as in ovulation, but there's no total dryness. So it's in between, it's in a growing process. Speaking about something that I love, that is the archetypal energies that inhabit the woman's body, I like to refer to the archetypes of the damsel, the young, the pubis, the student, the child. Sometimes we also speak about the virgin, but also the huntress and the warrior. It's quite special, you know, this description, and comes from an inspiration from the Greek world. So I'm speaking about Artemis. You may have heard about this archetype, about this goddess archetype. Artemis, also known as Diana in the Roman environment. You know, the Romans took everything from the Greeks in terms of understanding of the archetypes and gods. There's many jokes about it. But going back to the Greek tradition of Artemis or Diana, so we are speaking about the daughter of Zeus, the gods of the gods, god of the gods, and Leto, another nymph. So a creature that is, yes, divine, but into the manifestation of the world of nature. So she is the archer with a sure shot. So she's the one who's sure about where she shoots, the prey she takes. She's the guardian of the woods and its wild animals. She's quite an independent goddess and strongly determined. And she's not known as one who falls under the spell of love. She's renounced the sexual activity with men, with other creatures. She prefers to stay wild, independent, strongly connected with her nature and with animals. So, you know, there's this amazing psychologist and writer from the US called Jean Shinoda Bolen. And in her book called Goddesses in Every Woman, she tells about Artemis, and she says that this is the archetype that makes a woman look for her own goals in the land she chooses. And that's brilliant, because that's exactly what happens within your body throughout the follicular phase. So you have a new life, it's a new beginning, it's a new opportunity, and you can fulfill new goals throughout the whole of your cycle, all the way to the next menstrual phase. It's 1 month. It's a lunar month. So this, you know, can be turned out into a goal setting, a way of dealing with projects and work life in a cyclical way, in a feminine way. So taking advantage of the power that reside within yourself throughout the follicular phase, you set your goals, you choose the land of your work, of your interests, of the exploration you want to go for throughout the month. And there you go. Everything's easier. If you do that in another phase of your cycle, that will not be as easy as it is right now in the follicular phase, with the estrogen being there, opening you up through the, to the world. Another positive feature of Artemis is that, you know, despite having this strategist tendency, Artemis does not lose her innate wildness, meaning that she keeps her sense of intuition as a natural state of survival. So there is a deep connection with nature, a deep connection with the determination that resides in herself without being influenced by artificial stuff. You know, throughout this time, the energies that are mobilized are the ones that make you feel strong and kind of winning, kind of, yeah, successful. You know, period's over. You're light. You have physical energy. That's not something that we women have throughout the whole month. Sometimes there is not much physical energy. There is more intellectual energy. Sometimes there is more emotional energy. It depends. Right now, there's a strong physical positive energy, and this is an excellent time to start doing things, to do physical things, do physical activity as well, and to accomplish things that you have been postponing due to fears or just because you didn't want to. It's a good time because you're clear, you're open-minded, and there's this certain sense of positivity all around you, as there is in a child themselves. When you're little and there is a lot of potential, a lot of shakti, a lot of prana. No, there's no many mental rackets. So you can really achieve and aim to independence, aim at being free, because nothing holds you back. Nothing can stop you. But you know, I'm in Auroville here. I'm in Tamil Nadu, Southeastern Asia, Bay of Bengal. So I like to refer also to a local archetype and to find a local language to translate what I'm saying, because I believe, strongly believe, that all this is an international knowledge and wisdom, because it's the wisdom of women. Wherever you are, whichever culture is your culture, you will always find an archetype that explains exactly what's happening inside. And you will understand that your inner life is mirrored by the outer life and vice versa. What you have invented and worshipped and described in the outer world will be found in the inner world as well. So as far as Indian culture is concerned, I'd like to refer to the Shakta Tantra, which is the sector, the field of tantric culture, where the feminine energy, the divine feminine, is worshipped. The divine mother. And specifically, there is a whole study and you could say religion or culture, whatever, called the Mahavidyas. So the 10 wisdom goddesses, where we can really develop an understanding of 10 feminine powers. And one of these 10 is called Tripura Sundari, or Lalita Devi, or Shodasi, according to where you are and which quality of her you want to understand more. So we could say that she's the Artemis's Indian sister. And she really, really matches with this archetype of the inner girl, the inner child, woman, free, independent, and virgin. In some traditional iconography, she herself also holds a bow and arrow as Artemis. In some other iconography, she's sitting on a throne, a special throne. The name Shodasi literally means the 16-year-old, because she's seen as an eternally youthful beauty of 16 years old. The other name, Tripura Sundari, means the beauty of the three worlds, as she can be understood as the beauty of pure perception that allows for the light of consciousness to shine. Among some other people, she's also called Lalita Devi. So it depends. Many faces, many facets. In this case, in this archetype, there's a lot of stress onto the fact that her beauty rests in her purity, in the purity of an illuminated perception. She has innocent wide eyes, and these innocent wide eyes give her the clarity of understanding and the capacity to be open, to open to an experience to be that is not yet again potential, like the follicular phase. Again, we have this embodiment of power and wisdom, of innocence and trust. Because when you're a virgin, when you haven't undergone any sexual intercourse, when you haven't been married, you haven't met the other genders fully, and you're still linked to the animal world, you're still linked to the wild world, there is a lot of innocence. There is a lot of capacity to trust, because you don't have prior experience to guide you throughout your choices. So you just trust, you're open to the future. And this is an immense natural power. And she, another nice thing to see is the way she's usually represented in relationship with the masculine energy, because the traditional image is of Tripura Sundari sitting on a lotus that rests on the supine body of Lord Shiva. And Shiva's body, in turn, lies on a throne whose four legs, so the four legs of the throne, are formed by Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, and Rudra. So a mix of Hindu and Vedic gods. So this means that, when the deities are placed beneath the form of Tripura Sundari, that is for her pure beauty, the beauty of her innocent perception. That conveys her a power that is irresistible, and it is of cosmic proportions. It covers, it's rooted onto these gods. It's on top of them. She's resting on them. It's a really cosmic proportion. It's really, really incredible. In Shakta Tantra, it's interesting to speak also of Siddhis. The Siddhis, or the Siddhi, is the cosmic power that resides within a deity or within a particular energy or rite of passage, like menarche, the first blood of a woman. And this is, again, her absolute openness and receptivity. Openness and receptivities are the quality that shine through the positive experience of the follicular phase. And if we want to link to this phase to the life of a woman, the link is, of course, with the menarche, the first periods. So openness and receptivity is also there throughout a positive experience of menarche. That's why it's important to speak about this and to do more and more of conversation and education. Thank you for listening. It has been beautiful, like all the time. And looking forward to our next episode. My baby don't care for shows. My baby don't care for clothes.
This is Oroville Radio.